Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Dalet. We are learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Rebetzin Miriam Laner, Miriam Bas Meir, and also Peril Bas Matisyo, Yaakov HaKohen. All the Shomos we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety of all of Klai Yisrael. The Chayalim should be successful in bringing about the Chatufim and in all of their endeavors. And Be'ezus Hashem, all those in need of a Refuah Shleimah should have one B'mehera. The Chatufim should all be in good health and returned as quickly as possible. And Be'ezus Hashem, all of Klai Yisrael should be at peace. Okay, we pick up the Gemara with the words, Omer Rav Kahana. 9 lines down from the top of the Samach Dalet, Omer Aleph. Rav Kahana tells us the following story. Omer Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Have a Yosivna Bishile Pirke de Rav. I was once sitting at the end of the shir that Rav was giving. Rav had come, had given a shir, and Rav Kahana, for whatever the reason, came late and came in at the end of the shir. That's the girsa that we have, Rav. The Rashash and the Yavitz, they have the girsa over here that it was Rabba. In any event, Rav Kahana said he came in at the end of the shir of Rav, the girsa that we have, Ushamitz the Kamar, and he heard Rav saying, Kari, Kari. He was saying something about Diluin, Diluin. Kari is gourds, Diluin. V'lo yadan amai karma. But since he came in at the end of the shir, he didn't know what Rav was mentioning, this din about Kari, Kari, about these gourds. So, Basa to come, Rav, after Rav got up and finished the shir, he went over to the other Talmidim, Amri Luhu, Rav Kahana said to the other Talmidim, my Kari, Kari, the Kama Rav. What was Rav talking to you about this din of Kari, Kari, about this din of the Diluin of these gourds? So the Talmidim told him, Amruli, the Talmidim told Rav Kahana, Hochi come around. This is what Rav was saying. Haiman diyov zuze ligino akari. If a person gave money to a gino, that's a literally the one who is taking care of the garden, the one who is growing these gourds, these kari in this garden, and the person came up to him and said, I'm going to give you money, the Yav Zuze, for these gourds that you're growing. Right now, the gourds are very small. The Ka'ozle Asara Kare B'nei Zarta. And the going price for 10 of these very small, their Zarta is a certain shear. The shear of a Zarta is a Zeres. Zeres is a half of an Amma. We find by Golias, it says that he was 6 Amma and a Zeres tall. So the simple understanding of that, he was 6.5 Amma tall. So a Zeres, a Zarta, is a half of an Amma. So these gourds, they were only a half of an Amma in size. So the going price for them was 10 of these for a Zuz. The Amalei, and this Gina, this gardener, said to the person who wanted to buy it, Yahivno loch b'nei garmida. If you pay me now, you give me the Zuz now, I will not give you these smaller sized gourds that are only half of an amma. I will give you Yehivnaloch B'nei Garmida. I will give you, when they grow to that length, I will give you 10 of these gourds that are an amma. A Garmida is an amma in length. Now, is this called Ribis or not? So the Gemara says, Isnahu, if he has in his possession right now 10 of these gourds that are already the size of an Amma, so then this is permissible because he could theoretically have given him those and it wouldn't be a Ribbis problem. And in this situation, if he waits to give them the smaller ones till they grow into larger ones, that's not a Ribbis concern since Isnahu, he has the larger ones already. And this is what we've explained previously. If you have them in your possession, even though you don't give it to them, it's considered as if he purchases them right now, and there's not a ribbis concern, this forward contract of this purchasing right now, giving the money right now, but only taking possession of them later on. So then, isnu, if he has them, shari, it's perfectly permissible. However, lesnu, if he only has these smaller gourds, he doesn't have any of the larger ones, so then, usur. So Rav had said to the Talmidim that in this situation, it would be forbidden. This would be ribis dirabonon. Now, Mar says, pshita, what was the chiddush that Rav was telling? This is a beferish din, that if you're paying for stuff right now, and they don't have it in their possession, or there is no shar, so this is basically, I'm giving you money now, and I'm getting something back that's worth more than that. This is ribis derabanan. So what's the chiddush of Rav in telling us this? It's pashut, pshita. Someone says, not so pshita. Mal detema, I might have said, you know what? These are the actual gourds you're going to be getting. Kivan dimimela karavu. They're growing, so to say, on their own. Yes, you may be watering them, you may be putting in additional nutrients into the ground, but they're essentially, these are the 10 gourds. And right now they're half an almond size, and they'll grow to be a full almond size. So therefore, I might have said that this situation is different. This is as if it's new, if he has them in his possession right now, and therefore shop or dummy. This isn't considered ribbis, this is a good transaction. So one says, no, Kamash Vulon, Rav is teaching that this in fact is no good. Now, who does the Shita go like that Rav just taught us? Kiman. So the Gemara says, Ki hai tan. It goes in accord with the following Tan and the following Brisa. The Tani. We learn the following Brisa. Ha holech lachlov es izav. If a person is going to milk his goats, right? We're not so familiar with goat's milk. We have only cow milk. But yeah, goat's milk was a very common commodity in those days. So if a person would go in to milk his goat, or the ligzos es rechelov, or he was going to shear his sheep and take the wool from them, or the lirdos es kavroso. Kavra is a beehive. So he was going to take out the honey from his beehive. That's called lirados es kavroso. So in each of these situations, he was about to do one of these things. Either he was going to milk his goats, or he was going to shear his sheep, or he was going to remove the beehive honey from the beehive. And he meets up with a person, the farmer over here, who's either milking his goats or shearing his sheep or getting the honey from his beehive, meets up with a person, it's all a chadero, who wants to go and purchase this stuff. So the armalo, so the farmer says to this guy, Ma she'izai chovos, marchulucha, that which my goats give milk, I'm selling to you. But he doesn't specify how much milk. It says, whatever the milk comes out, I'm selling to you. And it's going to be at set price. Or, Ma she'rechelei gozesos, marchulucha. Or he says, that shearings that I'm going to do on my sheep right now, I'm selling to you. And he sets the price, but he doesn't say how much the shearings will be. Or he says, Ma she'kevrosi roda, marchulucha. Or that beehive honey that comes out of my beehive, so I'm selling to you for such and such an amount. And in each of these situations, the guy, the person who's purchasing it, the chavero, says, yeah, okay, no problem. And he gives him the money. So he's giving him the money right now for a future receipt of either the milk, the shearings, or of the honey. So this is permissible. Mutter, the Brisa says, because they didn't say how much he's actually getting. So whatever it produces, so that's acceptable for him to go and pay for it right now. Because they didn't say, you're getting it at this and this price for this and this amount. He's just saying, I'm paying you for what you get. However, Avolim Amar Lo, if the farmer said to the person who's purchasing these things, Mashi Izai Chovos Kach V'Kach Mochulach, that which my goat produces milk, a certain amount, 2 gallons, 3 gallons, whatever it is, Kach V'Kach, I'm selling to you for such and such an amount, so he's giving him, the person who's purchasing this is giving him money right now for a set amount. But this is at a lower price than it will be worth when he actually gives him the milk. So this is a future contract, a forward contract, which is not allowed. Mashi Rechelei Gozos, Kach V'Kach. Or if he says, I'll give you these shearings, it's going to be 2 pounds of shearings, it's going to be a certain amount of shearings at such and such a price, and it's a lower price than it'll be worth because you're paying me right now than the price when I shear it that you'll get it from then. So you're basically doing a forward contract, which is not allowed. Or he says, Mashi Kavrosi Roda, Kach V'Kach. Or he says, I'll give you the honey from the beehive, which is a certain amount. They'll give you a pound, 2 pounds of this honey for the lower price right now. Machalach, it'll be sold to you. Then this is also, because this is a case of Ribbis Drabbanan. This is, we are paying right now a lower price in order to get more later on. So that is Ribbis Drabbanan. So this Tana, this Brisa, is in accord with what Rav said. The Gemara continues and says, V'afal gav d'menela karavu. Now here, we say that even though the milk from these goats, or the wool from the sheep, or the honey from the beehive, is growing on its own, so to say. It's going to come out on its own. So this, why isn't this the same as the gourd case? So kivan deles nu b'hayi shaita osa. Just like the gourds, we don't say, well, this is the same gourd, and it's just going to grow into a bigger gourd. Rav said, no, you might have thought that. So kamash v'lon that we don't say that. So to over here, you might have thought, well, here's the goat with the milk. Here's the sheep with the wool. Here's the beehive with the honey. So you might have thought it's the same goat, sheep, or beehive, and therefore it should be allowed. So therefore, this Tana says it's not allowed, so Rav goes in accordance with this Tana. That's the first version that we have of this discussion. Ikadami, there's a second version that Omar Rava says, Kibon dimimela karavu shaper dummy. Then in fact, Rav had paskin that this was perfectly acceptable. According to Rava's version, when the farmer had said, I will sell you for azuz these 10 gourds of a certain size. So even though right now they're not that size, this is permissible because it's mimela karavu. It is the same gourds, and therefore it is shaper dummy. So according to this version, Rava's version of the story, so then Rav, in fact, it said, kivon de mimela karavu shaper dummy. It wasn't that he's saying, therefore it's not. He's saying, no, in fact, this is allowed. The Braisa we just brought down seems to argue with that. Now, instead of the Braisa being riot to Rav, the Braisa seems to be against Rav. Well, Tanya, kach v'kach aser. The Braisa seems to say that's not allowed. So how can you, Rav, say that Memela Karavu is good? So Gemara says, no, there's a difference between the case of the gourds. The gourds are the exact same gourds. They're now a half am in size, and they themselves are growing to a full am in size. And that's why Rav said that's allowed, according to Rav. Hossam lav mine karavu. But in the braisa, in the case of the milk of the goat, or the wool of the sheep, or the honey of the beehive, he's not necessarily giving him that original milk, or that original wool, or that original honey. He could sell that to someone else, and then give him the next milk, or wool, or honey that comes from these respective places. So therefore, in this situation, lav mine karavu, it's not this exact milk, this exact wool, this exact honey that he's giving to him now for a lower price because he's paying right now. The shok lele lahai, because he can get rid of that original milk, wool, or honey. But asiyachrina b'duchte, and a second milk, wool, or honey will come and take its place. That's why the braisa is not the same case as the gourds, because hacha, in the case of the gourds, mine karabu, these the gourds are the ones that he's giving him. They're now a half an amma in size, they're a zeres, and they're going to grow to be a full garmida, a full amma in size. Mine karabu, the kishokli le lehai lo asiachrina b'duchte. If he were to get rid of these gourds, there aren't going to be different gourds growing in their place necessarily. And therefore, that's why, according to the Ika de Amre, the braisa is not a kashan raf. So we have two ways to understand the braisa, the first one supporting Rav, the way that we first had Rav, that he doesn't allow the gourds to say these are the same gourds, they're just growing bigger, and therefore it's in accord with the braisa. The second opinion, Rav's opinion, was that in fact the gourds are the same exact gourds, whereas the milk, the wool, and the honey are not the exact same. Another statement, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Shari Leila Inish Lemeimar Leila Chavre, a person is allowed to say to his friend, Heilich Arbo Zuzi, Achavitza de Chama. I'm giving you four zuz over here for a certain barrel of wine that you have, but you don't have to bring me the wine right now. You bring it to me later on. Now, he then makes a further condition on this sale. And he says, E talk for if the wine in fact turns sour. Talk for means that the wine is ruined in its status. It is no longer good wine, it turns into vinegar. So then you suffer the loss for that. It's as if it got sour, it turned into vinegar in your possession, and you take the loss. However, if the price goes up or down, if the price goes up, if the price goes down, so then I take the gain or I take the loss. So Abaye says, what's the halacha in this situation? So Abaye said, Shari Leilinish, Lameimar Leilachavri, this is permissible to say to your friend, I'll give you the four zuzim right now for your wine that you have. You have this wine, and I'll give it to you now. But if the wine turns sour, you suffer the loss. If it goes up in value, though, if it goes down in value, separate from the fact that it's soured, then I take the loss. And this is considered as if it was a valid sale right now, and there's no ribbis concern. Rav Shravya questions this, however. Amale Rav Shravya l'Abaye. Rav Shravya says to Abaye, we turn to some of Talad on the day. He says, wait a second. Hai karov l'schar v'rochok l'hefsidhu. One of the rules of ribbis, when something is considered ribbis, is when there's really no potential loss for the person. He's giving 100 and he's getting back 120 with no risk involved. As opposed to a partnership deal, as opposed to I'm going into business with you and I guarantee that I'm giving you money, I'm hoping you'll do well in the partnership and I'll get back more money than I gave you, but I also may get back less money. So that's called a partnership. That's called ASEC. That's called a deal, and that's different than ribbis, and that's allowed. But the rule has to be that it's karov l'schar, the karov lehefsid. It has to be, yes, there's a chance you'll get schar, but there's a chance that you'll get hefsid. In this situation, it's only karov l'schar. There's only an excellent chance that he'll get more money because chances are it won't spoil, and there's only a very, very slight chance that it will spoil. So how come this is allowed? That's where Rav Shravya asked Abaye. And Abaye says, I'm going to lay no. There was a potential for loss here too. Granted, the spoilage, if it comes vinegary, so then it's a total loss. And therefore, that wasn't something that he was taking any risk on. However, the market prices, given the Makabala Le Zula, since if it goes down in price, he would lose. So then, that is, in fact, Karv Lezeh Ulezeh, who then, in fact, is possible that it'll go up in price, possible it'll go down in price. So therefore, this is called a business deal and is not called a ribbis deal. Okay, next Mishnah. Hamal ve'ez chaveiro, if Ruvain lends money to Shimon, so lo yodur b'chatzeru chinam, v'lo yiskor mimenu bepachos mipneishu ribis. So if Reuven lends Shimon money, so Shimon wants to be nice to him possibly, and he would let him stay in his chotzer for free without having to pay for it, or he would let him rent it for him at a lower than usual price, bepachos, less than the usual amount, so you're not allowed to do that, because mipneishu ribis, because this is ribis. Reuven is lending money to Shimon, and he's getting back that amount of money. He lent him $100. He's going to get back $100, but now he also got to sleep over in his chotzer for free or at a lower price. That's why it's not allowed. That is ribis. Now, Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi said the name of Rav Nachman. This is true. That which we said in our Mishnah is Afal Pi Sha'amru, even though the rule of thumb is Hador B'chatzer Chaveru Shalom Daito. If somebody sleeps in a chotzer of someone else without their permission or their knowledge, but it wasn't the type of thing that he was renting out. So he has a courtyard and he doesn't rent it out. He's not losing any money by not renting it out because he doesn't rent it out. And somebody goes and sleeps there, so eino tzarech la'alos l'shachar. He doesn't have to go and pay for it because this person wasn't renting it out. There is no loss to him. However, that is only talking about when there's no relationship between Reuven and Shimon, let's say. So Reuven slept in Shimon's courtyard. He doesn't have to pay him for sleeping in his courtyard because Shimon wasn't lending it out. Now, Hilvahu, however, if Reuven had made a loan to Shimon, and now Vidor B'chatzero, so then, Tzarech La'alos L'shachar, then he has to pay for it because, like we learned in our Mishnah, it is Mipneishu Ribis. If he gets to stay there for free, it looks like that's the Ribis. He's lent him $100, Reuven lent Shimon $100, and now he's getting back $100, plus he got a free night in his courtyard. So therefore, even though Shimon normally would not have been entitled to get any money because he's not renting out his courtyard, so technically Reuven didn't get any ribbis, but here he has to go and pay him because it looks like ribbis if he doesn't pay him. Where it says, wait a second, my kamashla, what is Rav Nachman teaching us? Tanina, this is our Mishnah. How is this any different than our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said, "Amalves chaveru lo yodur bechatzeru chinam v'lo yizkor mimenu b'pachos meishu ribis." What is Rav Nachman, who's in Amora, adding on to our Mishnah? Our Mishnah seemed to say beferish what Rav Nachman said, and an Amora doesn't just repeat over what a Mishnah says without saying this is what the Mishnah says. And Rav Nachman seems to be making it a new statement. So it says, "Yes, Rav Nachman is making a chiddush over here." When Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi said over the name of Rav Nachman, this was the chiddush. He says, "If we only had our Mishnah, imi masnisin." You know what I would have said? Hav Amina, I would have said, Hani mi li b'chotzer d'kaima li agra, v'gabra d'ovid l'megar. I would have said that the only time it looks like ribbis is if this chotzer is normally rented out. So Shimon rents this chotzer out every night. And if Reuven now goes and sleeps there for free, so then Shimon is actually losing $100 because that's what he would have rented it out for. Or it's a gavra, the over the mega. Reuven needs a hotel. So he needs to go and spend $100 someplace. So the fact that he's now sleeping in Shimon's without having to pay for it, that's why it's ribbis. So I would have said our Mishnah is only talking about a case where Shimon normally rents out this chotzer and Reuven is in need of a chotzer to rent out. And that's why our Mishnah said it's ribbis. Along comes Rav Nachman to tell us, no, this is true. You might have thought not. You would have said, Avo chotzer de lo kaima li agra, if we're dealing with a courtyard that is not normally rented out, or the gavra de lo of the megar, or a person that's not in need of a rental for the night, so then, amelo, I would have said that our Mishnah doesn't apply, and it isn't a ribbis concern. Oh, Rav Nachman comes along and says, Kamash v'lan, that not only in a case where Shimon, in fact, rents this out, and Reuven, in fact, needs to buy a place to rent the place for the night, but even when Shimon doesn't rent it out, and even if Reuven has another place to stay and doesn't need this chotzer to sleep in, nevertheless, Rav Nachman is telling us it still looks like ribbis, and therefore you shouldn't do this, b'nei shehu ribbis. That's the chiddush of Rav Nachman. Now, that's version number one of what Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi said in the name of Rav Nachman. Version number two, Ika Diamrei, that in fact, Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, he said, our Mishnah is talking about, Afal pi sha'amru, hador b'chatzar chaveru shalomi daito, eino tzarech la'alos l'shachar. Even though the rule of thumb is that if you're staying in somebody else's courtyard and they don't need that courtyard, and therefore you don't have to go and pay them for that courtyard, they're not renting out that courtyard anyway, so eino tzarech la'alos l'shachar. Nevertheless, if you say to somebody, Halveini, if you say, Shimon says to Reuven, I need money from you. Lend me $100. And guess what? V'dur b'chatzeri, without having to pay any money. Go live in my courtyard. You can sleep in my courtyard and you don't have to pay any money. Lend me the $100. I'll pay you back the $100. Plus, you live in my courtyard for free. That you're not allowed to do. And here, Rav Nachman is saying, Tzarech la'alos lo schar. Here, Reuven cannot take this free offer of the courtyard and has to go pay him rent for the usage of the courtyard. Now, these two versions of what Rav Yosef Bar Ben Yumi said in Rav Nachman, so the Gemara now says, Man di'amar hilvahu, according to the first version, where Reuven lends Shimon the money, and there was no mention at all about staying over in Reuven to stay over in Shimon's courtyard for free. So there, in that situation, if you hold that that's not allowed, that you're not allowed to do that, even when you didn't mention it, Man di'amar hilvahu, if there was already the loan took place, then you're not allowed to go and stay there without paying for it. Then certainly, kol shekein halveini, if up front they made the deal, Shimon said to Reuven, lend me the $100 and I'll let you stay in the courtyard for free, you certainly can't do that. Kol shekein halveini, that would not be allowed. However, if you only have the second version, so then, Uman d'yom halveini, where they made the deal up front, where Shimon says to Reuven, lend me $100, I'll pay you back the $100, plus you stay in my courtyard for free, only in that situation would it be osur. However, where the deal was already done, that Reuven had lent Shimon money, maybe, avol huvo, lo, maybe, according to the second version, that wouldn't constitute ribbis, because after all, the loan had already been taking place, and any now, I'm giving you this additional free thing to sleep in my courtyard, maybe that's not considered ribbis, because after all, the loan already took place, and this is something that seems to be unrelated to the loan. Now the Gemara says, why? My taima, because kivin the mikara lava daiti dehachi osvei, because originally the loan that Reuven gave to Shimon had nothing to do with staying in the courtyard, so therefore, less lumba, it actually has nothing to do with it, and therefore it would be allowed. So according to the first version, if it wasn't mentioned up front, so nevertheless, you can't go and do it. According to the second version, if it wasn't mentioned up front, you would be allowed to go and do it. Okay. Another Maisa Shoya. Rav Yosef Bar Chama. Rav Yosef Bar Chama is the father of the great Rava who we have throughout Shas. Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Tokif Abdei de Inshe de Masik Buzuze. Rav Yosef Bar Chama would go, if people owed him money, he would go and take their slaves, the Eved Kenani of the person who owed him money, and when that person did not need that Eved Kenani, he would go and take that person to work for him. Now, and he would do work for Rav Yosef Bar Chama. Now, the person who owned the Eved Kenani wasn't losing anything because he had no work for him at that moment in time. But does this appear like ribbis because he's now going to get the money that he's owed back, and yet he also has the usage of this slave? So Rava, the great Rava throughout Shas, his son says to him, Amalei Rava Berei, Rava says to his father, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, are you allowed to do that? And he asks in a very respectful way. My taima ovid marhochi. Why does the master, he called his father the master, why does the master go and do this? Implying, is this a ribbis problem? He's asking his father in a very proper way, is this a ribbis problem? So his father, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, says it's not. Amalei, anok Rav Nachman surely. I hold like the opinion of Rav Nachman. What did Rav Nachman say? The Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Abda a Eved Kenani, Nuhum Kreise Lo Shove. The amount of money that you have to spend to fill up his stomach, to give him bread for his stomach, Nuhum Kreise Lo Shove. He's not worth it. In other words, the work that he does, it's not really even worth the money they pay for him. So therefore, when I take these Avodim for the people that owe me money, and I give them lunch, and they do some work for me, the owner is very happy because he doesn't have to pay for their lunch, and he's actually gaining on the deal. So therefore, he's happy, and it's not a ribbis concern. Rava questions this and says to his father, again, very politely, Amalei, maybe Amor d'Amar Rav Nachman. When Rav Nachman said this, it's only talking about a very, very bad slave, Kigon Dori Abde. He had an Eved whose name was Dori, Rashi says, Kach Shemo, and this was a very, very bad slave. What did he do? The Mirakeid Beikuvi. He would go and dance in the stores. Rashi says, Mirakeid Beikuvi means he was a late son, he was a jester, he was a joker, and Hoya, Umirakeid Bechanuyos Lishtosyai. And he would dance in order that people give him some money, and then he would go spend it in the bar, Lishtos Yayin, to go buy wine. So maybe a slave like Dari, you're right, 100%, that he's not worth the amount that you have to pay him for lunch for the work that he does because he's a drunkard. However, Abdi Achrine Miyomar, did Rav Nachman say this about all Avadim? Doesn't make sense. Why would anybody have an Eved if the Eved costs you more than the work that he gives you? So Rava's father answers back to Rava, Amalei says, that may be true, but ano, I, kiha adirav Daniel bar Rav Ketina, amarav sirli. I hold like another opinion, that which Rav Daniel bar Ketina, by Rav Ketina, said in the name of Rav. And that is, the Omar, he had said, Hatokev Avdo Shel Chavero. If you go and take your neighbor's Eved Kinani, for Osabo Malacha, and you do Malacha with him, Potter. You don't have to go and pay him for it. Now, we're talking about when the person who owns the Eved Kinani didn't need him. You go and take this Eved Kinani when he's not working, and you go and work with him, you don't have to pay him, the owner of the Eved Kinani, for the services that the Eved Kinani did for you when you took him. Now, why is that? And we turn to Samachei Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, because denichale de lo nistere abde, because the person who owns his Eved Kinani, who has no work for the Eved Kinani to do, doesn't want him to be idle, because he's going to used to being idle. He's going to used to being lazy. He's going to used to not working. So therefore, the owner of the Eved Kinani says, I have no work for you, but since you, in this situation, Rav Yossi Bar Chava, have work for him, gizun tehet, you're doing me a favor by keeping my Eved busy, and therefore he won't get lazy. So that's what Rav Yossi Bar Chava said. I hold like this opinion of Rav. And that's why I was able to work with these Eved Kinani. But Rava, his son, says, still, Dad, Amalei, Hani Mili, Hechadulo Masik Bezuze. That's only true. This statement that was made by Rav Daniel Bar Rav Ketina in the name of Rav, that was only because there was no prior relationship between the person who was using the Eved Kinani and the owner of the Eved Kinani. Hani Mili, Hechadulo Masik Bezuze. But there was no loan involved over here. But you, Rav Yossi Bar Chama, my father, Rav's father, Mar, you, Kivan Demasik Buzuze, since these owners of these Eved Kinani owe you money, it appears, Merci Karibis, yes, you're right, it's better, he's happy that the Eved Kinani is not getting lazy, but to everybody else, this looks like Ribis. It's not real Ribis, but it looks like Ribis to everybody else. So, where do we see this from? The Amr of Yosef Ibn Yumni, Amr Rab Nachman, the Rav Yosef Ibn Yumni said the name of Nachman. We just brought down this din from Rav Yosef Ibn Yumni, the name of Nachman, that even though you're staying in that courtyard, in that chatzar, without paying any rent for it, because this person isn't going and renting it out, that nevertheless, if you owe him money, he'll vav, v'dor b'chatzar, eiro, tzorich lalos l'schar. In general, you wouldn't have to pay if you stayed in somebody else's yard and they're not renting that yard out and you're not in need of a property to stay in. So therefore, normally you don't have to pay for that. However, when you lent him money and he owes you money, then it looks like ribbis. And therefore, tzorich la'alos l'schar. So Rav Yosef Bar Chama is being asked by Rava, doesn't this then apply in this situation? So his father says, Yataka right. Amalei hadre bi. I will retract from this. I won't do it anymore. From the future, going forward, I won't do it. Now, he didn't have to pay anything here because he really wasn't mechuyev to pay. Because it only is mechzeik ribbis. It only looks like ribbis. It wasn't real ribbis. Because he was doing it because denichalei de lo nistere abde. The owner was not, in fact, happy that his slave wasn't getting lazy. But Rav Yossi Bar Chama said, going forward, I won't do this anymore. Let's already go to the Mishnah. It's a relatively short shiur, so we'll go down to the Mishnah. Amar Baya Baya says, Hayman demasik zuze de reviso bechavre. If Reuven is owed ribis money from Shimon, Reuven had lent Shimon money with ribis. He wasn't allowed to do this. And Shimon now is paying him back the ribis. And Reuven says, hey, give me the ribis. So the din is that we learned this previously, and we'll have this on the Amud Beis, Samachei Amud Beis, as Rashi points out, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, who says that Ribis Daraisa, Ribis Kitsutsa, is in fact returned. So this was a case where Reuven is claiming his Ribis Kitsutsa, his Ribis Daraisa from Shimon, and he gets it from him, so based in, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, we'll see on the Amud Beis, so based in will force Reuven to return that Ribis to Shimon. That's the scenario. So now, Reuven is claiming from Shimon the Ribis. This is wrong. He shouldn't have done this, but he's claiming this ribis. The ko'ozle chite arba grive bezuza bishuka. Now, the regular rate, let's say he owed him a zuz. So Shimon is, the interest is a zuz. And Reuven is claiming this zuz. Now, instead of giving him a zuz, he gives him here certain measures of wheat. Chite arba grive, a certain measure, grive's worth of wheat, 4 grive's worth of meat, which costs a zuz in the shuk. And instead of giving him 4, Shimon is nice and he gives him 5. Yovle iu chamisha to compensate Reuven for the interest that Shimon owes him. Now he's not allowed to do this. Get this straight. He's not allowed to do this. But Shimon, in fact, gave him five of these measures of wheat. He really only owed him four from the interest, which wasn't allowed, but he gave it to him. So what's the din? Beis Din has the right to go and force Reuven to give it back. When they force Reuven to give it back, since he was only owed four measures of wheat for the Zuz, and Shimon gave him that extra measure of wheat for the Zuz, so the Beis Din only has the right to go and force Reuven to give back four measures of wheat. The fifth measure he gets to keep because that's not interest. The Beis Din will only force Reuven to give back four of these measures of wheat and not the fifth one, because the fifth one is like a present that Shimon had given to him because he only owed him four. So when he gives him five, the fifth one isn't rivets. That's the first opinion. However, that's Abaye's opinion. Rav Amar, no, I disagree with you. He says you have to return all five. Beis Din can force him to give back all five. Chamisha mafkina minei. Why? Because why did he get these five? It was because of ribis. The Meikar Rabbi Torah Ribisa Asar Liyodeh. The only reason Shimon gave it to him was because it was a payment for the ribis. And while he was very generous in paying him for the ribis, it's all ribis. So Rav says not only does he have to give back four, the Beis Din can force him to give back four, the Beis Din can give back all five. And the same achlokas in the following scenario. From Abaye, Abaye says, Haiman demasik arba zuze de revisa bechabre. Reuven is coming to Shimon to say, hey, you owe me four zuz worth of ribis, and I'm collecting it. Of course, he's not allowed to do that. And the Beis Din will force him to give it back. That's going to be the same question as we just had a minute ago. So Abaye tells us, when Reuven is claiming the four zuz of ribis from Shimon, and Shimon says, I don't have four zuz of ribis, the yav le glimo begavayu, and instead he gives him a coat, a garment, and he says, this will be instead of the four zuz ribis that I owe you. So now, the Beis Din is going to force Reuven to give it back. So, kimav kinon mine, when Beis Din forces Reuven to give back the ribis to Shimon, arbo mafkinon mine, they force him to give back four zuz, but not the coat. Glimo lo mafkinon mine. Abaye says, the Beis Din doesn't have the right to go and force the coat to be given from Reuven back to Shimon, because the coat is as if Reuven bought it from Shimon for four zuz. So therefore, the coat is not ribis. It's the four zuz that Reuven got. The coat that he got, which was worth four zuz, that the Beis Din will force Reuven to give back to Shimon. And therefore, they can't force him to give back the coat. Now, obviously, if he wants to give back the coat, he can. But they can't force him to give back the coat. He could say, the coat is a sale. I bought it for four zuz. You're right. I have to give him back the four zuz. I'll give him back the four zuz. That's Abaye's opinion. Rava disagrees again. Rava Amar, no. Glima mafkina minei. The Beis Din can force Reuven to give the coat back to Shimon. Why is that? My time. Because how come he got the coat? Ki hechi de lo lemru. So people shouldn't say, glima de michase vikai, glima de revisa. Who? Because everybody's going to know the only reason Reuven has Shimon's coat is because he got it as ribis, and it doesn't look good. This is going to publicize the fact that ribis was taken over here, and we don't want that to happen. And therefore, since it clearly will be in the minds of everybody that this was ribis, we don't want that to be, and therefore, Rava says the Beis Din can force Reuven to give the coat back to Shimon, not just to give him the four zuz. Finally, Gemara concludes and says, Amar Rava, Rava says, Haiman demasik tresar zuze de revisa bechavre. You have over here, Reuven is demanding that Shimon give him 12 zuz worth of interest, that he wasn't allowed to go and take the interest, but he did it. Again, all of these cases aren't allowed. So Reuven is demanding that Shimon pay him the 12 zuz of interest that he owes him. So what does Reuven do? He goes to collect it from Shimon. Shimon says, I don't have the money, but you know what? I have a courtyard that I'm happy to rent out to you. Normally this courtyard rents for 10 zuz. However, Shimon says to Reuven, take it in complete payment of the 12 zuz that I owe you. So he rented it to him essentially for 12 zuz, even though it's only worth 10 zuz. And Reuven was happy with it. Now, this was ribis that he got. Beis Din now forces Reuven to give back to Shimon 12 zuz. Now, even though the courtyard was only worth 10 zuz, he had gotten it for 12 zuz. So, kimav kinamineh, when the Beis Din forces Reuven to pay back Shimon, they make him pay back tresar mafkinamineh. He has to pay back 12 zuz, even though the courtyard was only worth 10 zuz. So, how come? Amalei Ravacha midifti Ravina. So, Ravacha midifti said to Ravina, why is this so? Why can't the lay malay, he should be able to say, Reuven should be able to say to Shimon, listen, I accepted this courtyard for 12 zuz because I said to myself, instead of me getting nothing because you're not paying me back the money that you owe me for the ribis, I'll take this courtyard for 12 zuz, and we'll say we're even Steven, even though it's only worth 10. But I'm only going to say that, when I was willing to accept 12 for it, is because the because I was gaining on the deal. Right now I have nothing. You can't pay me. So instead of me getting nothing, I'll take this thing that's worth 10 instead of 12. At least I'm getting it 10. Hashta, the lo mishtar shili. But now that I'm not able to keep it, the basin is forcing me to give it back. Kid the agre kule amahu the agrana. I'm only going to pay for 10, and therefore I'm not going to give the back 12. I'm only giving back 10. Why can't this person, Rav Achami Difti, said to Ravina, make this claim to the basin, and instead of them forcing him to pay back 12, which was the ribbis, he should only have to pay back 10. Gemara says no. Again, Rav Lushitaso, basically mishum de amale, because the basin can say to this person, Sabris v'kabalt, you were willing to accept 12 for this, even though it's only worth 10. So therefore, it's worth 12. And therefore, since the basin has the power to go make you give back this ribis kitsutsa, the 12, so he has to give back 12 and can't say, well, it's only worth 10. No, to you, it was worth 12. You accepted it, and therefore, you have to give him back 12. This is a good break point. With this, we'll conclude today's share.